Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download with a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/raintoday. Audible.com has more than 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Titles include Rainmaking Conversations, Book Yourself Solid, and The Referral Engine. Visit audibletrial.com/raintoday to get your free audiobook download.
Welcome to RainToday.com's podcasting series, Marketing and Selling Professional Services.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to RainToday's Marketing and Selling Professional Services podcast. I'm Michelle Davidson, editor of RainToday. And today I welcome back to the program Andrea Howe. She's the co-author of the Trusted Advisor Fieldbook and founder and president of Bossa Nova Consulting Group. Andrea is conducting a webinar with us October 30th titled Take the Sell Out of Selling, Four Key Behaviors That Drive Business Development. So I invited Andrea in to give us a preview of what she'll be talking about. Welcome, Andrea. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Michelle. It's always great to talk to you and to be with Rain today.
Now, when I was thinking about behaviors and the main topic of this webinar, I was wondering, what are some mistakes service professionals make when talking with prospects that prevent those prospects from buying? So do they say or do certain things that push prospects away?
Yeah, they do, or I should say we do, because I include myself in that category. We all say or do certain things that push others away for sure. Unfortunately, the answer is yes. And most of the time, if not 100% of the time, it's really completely unintentional because service professionals are usually just that. You know, we're service-oriented by nature. We're intrinsically motivated by helping other people. And yet we do things like, unintentionally, we do things like we talk a lot. You know, we primarily define our value by our expertise, and we think that that's mostly what our prospects and others want from us. They think what they want to buy is our expertise, and in reality, they do want that, and they want a whole lot more, even if they aren't willing or able to articulate that.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else they do unintentionally?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's not in the realm of saying or doing. I think a lot of it's in the realm of thinking. I think we think, even if we're not conscious of it, we think of selling as smarmy. You know, mm-hmm. we carry those stereotypes around with us. And even if we intellectually or rationally know that's not the case, you know, even if we've convinced ourselves that selling is about being helpful, you know, there are really widely held stereotypes that prevail, and they lurk in the back of our minds, and I think we have a tendency as a result to either overcorrect or undercorrect. Mm-hmm. And part of what being effective means is tackling, you know, really being aware of those mindsets that we carry, tackling those as well as learning, you know, some key behaviors that really help us.
I understand. That leads me to my next question, which is about barriers that prevent people from selling. So this mindset would be one of those barriers, is that correct?
It would be one example. So the mindset of sales being smarmy is a great example, a technical term that I'm using, smarmy. I think another example of a mindset that gets in our way is how we think about or how we define our primary goal when we're interacting with prospective buyers or our clients. So the traditional mindset about sales is that our primary goal is and should be to convince somebody to buy from us. And an alternative mindset, and one that I actually think is far more aligned with being of service, is that our primary goal is actually to help other people make the best decision for them right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that might sound like mere semantics. You know, we're just editing a sentence a little bit, except I think it's actually a lot more than that, because the goal that we start from and stay committed to in the process, I believe, sets off a chain reaction of corresponding thoughts and actions. Mm-hmm. So if we're trying to convince someone to buy from us, we're putting ourselves in the driver's seat. You know, we get really focused. We start with a predetermined solution, or we get to that solution really quickly if we don't come in with it. We get attached to the solution. And in short, we end up closing off options for what is the best decision for that person right now. And I think at the same time, we close off possibilities for the relationship.
Uh-huh. And how do you suggest getting over this barrier? What processes should happen in your mind? How do you deal with this?
Well, there are a number of different ways, and I think there's one key way. It's a simple way, which also isn't necessarily the easy way. In fact, when we're dealing with relationship conundrums or, you know, issues related to human interaction and dynamics, often the answers are really simple. They just aren't really easy. And a simple thing is to get really, really focused on and to get very, very committed to selling the right solution, not just your solution.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that might sound fairly basic, but if you get that clear in your head, then it translates into words and actions. And what you start to do when you're in conversation, in the process of selling, you're willing to completely unreservedly explore all the options with your prospect or your client, not just your options, the options you could help with. And it creates a degree of freedom in the conversation, in the relationship. It communicates to others that you're more than just an expert. You're more than just an answer to a problem. You're a safe haven for tough issues, which happens to be the very definition of a trusted advisor, a safe haven for tough issues. And notice I said safe haven for tough issues, not safe haven for tough issues for which you have a product or service.
And when you were saying that, the word that was coming to my mind was advisor, that you are more of an advisor than a salesperson.
Exactly. And not only that, I would add trusted advisor. So, yeah, you're more the impartial, objective advisor, and therefore, and if you're doing it in a genuine way, of course, all of this has to be genuine. If you're treating any of this like a tactic, you know, or a subtle way to manipulate, then it all falls apart.
Right.
But if you're doing it in a genuine way and really acting as a sounding board and somebody around whom others have all the freedom in the world to explore and to choose, you know, what happens is paradoxically, they are actually more likely to choose you. They get drawn to you in a really compelling way. The
mm-hmm.
key is you have to not do it for the goal of having them be drawn to you in a compelling way. You have to do it from a genuine commitment to being of service and helping them make the right decision for them right now, which you recognize may or may not have anything to do with you and or your organization.
Right. You talked about trust just a second ago and developing trust with buyers, how important that is. What advice do you have to start that process?
So my advice, Michelle, is to start by actually developing a deep understanding of how trust really works. And I say that because I think being masterful in sales means being masterful in trust-based relationships. And I think it's impossible to be masterful with something we don't fundamentally understand.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are actually a lot of myths and misperceptions about trust building that get in our way, oftentimes without us even realizing it. So, for example, a huge misperception in my experience is that trust building occurs in a linear, logical fashion. And in reality, and we think the same way thing about influence as well, it's a linear logical process. And in reality, it's anything but. And in fact, trust by its very nature is paradoxical. In other words, it appears to defy logic. So my example before of, you know, being willing to explore all the options and maybe even, goodness gracious, what seems like just horrific advice, actually being willing to refer your prospect or your buyer or your client to a competitor when you know that the competitor really is the one, the best one to do the job, paradoxically speaking, that's actually the best way to build more loyalty, close more deals. You know, paradoxically, the best way to close more deals is to stop trying to close deals. Paradoxically, the thing we're most afraid to say is often exactly what will build the most trust.
Mm-hmm.
There are all kinds of ways that trust building in reality actually doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And if we don't understand that, then we miss all kinds of opportunities to make connections as well as make sales.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking maybe something along the lines, correct me if I'm wrong, like say somebody says they want you to do something, whatever that may be. Say you're in marketing and they're all of a sudden getting to social media marketing and they want to be on Pinterest, for example. And you could say, yes, I can help you. I can get the picture. I can get it up. But then is that really the right place for them? So you might be turning them down something that they really want, but it's in their own interest.
Exactly. And you're also, if you're too quick to say yes, first of all, I don't think we inherently trust people who are really quick to say yes. Even
mm-hmm.
if we convey to them that urgently we need a response right away. There's a part of us that really wants our need to be fully understood. So if we're too quick to say yes, it's a little sketchy to begin with. We also don't completely understand what it is that they want and need. And, you know, we may be asserting that we're the best solution when that really isn't the case. So we're operating out of what is, you know, very understandable. Again, it's the service orientation, the desire to help that more than anything gets us really hung up. I don't believe, I mean, I suppose there are some out there, but in my experience of people in professional services, you know, they're high integrity, they want to do right, they're not out there trying to figure out how to manipulate people. But that desire that we have to help can actually cloud our vision about what really is the best thing and impact our behaviors in a way that, you know, we end up getting the result that's not really the best result for us or for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, great. Well, thanks, Andrea. That's lots of great advice for everybody here. Before we leave, is there anything in particular about the webinar that you want to point out or share with our listeners?
Yeah, I would love to encourage people to join, whatever your background or your proficiency with sales and relationships. Even if you consider yourself masterful or even just, you know, quote unquote, very good. And I encourage everyone to do that for two reasons. You know, a great musician never stops practicing scales. So there is always, there's benefit out of repetition, reinforcement. And I also think that sometimes when we're really good at something, we are what I call unconsciously competent. And what I mean by that is we don't know exactly why we're good or what it is that we're doing that's making the difference. And I see the webinar as an opportunity to bring awareness for everybody to what you're already doing well. And we just might uncover a blind spot or two for people in the process, which will really help everybody take their level of skill and their results to the next level.
All right, great. Well, thanks, Andrea.
You're very welcome.
And a quick note to our listeners, if you'd like to learn more about how to sell more effectively and look at the behaviors that can drive that, join us for Andrea's webinar on October 30th. You can get information about it and register to attend on Rain Today's live events page. Thank you again, Andrea, and thank you to everyone for listening to today's Marketing and Selling Professional Services podcast.